Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 15. God's Word says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." John gives us some warnings. He gives us one major warning, and it is a very broad warning. It is a very deep warning he starts off with. He says, "Love not the world." Well, that is a very interesting thing to start with, because when we look at that word love, it is agape, and it is talking about to esteem something, to put it in a focus, to put it as something that is a love that says, "I will give without expecting anything in return." Now, that's a beautiful thing when we're talking about God. But when we're talking about the world, it's something entirely different. It is an affection that is very destructive. It is an affection that is very difficult. When we look at God's Word and we see that Scripture spoken out, it says, "Love not the world." Well, it means to neglect. It means to neglect the world. And to neglect, disregard, or condemn the things that are in the world. That's what that phrase actually means. That's what it's actually telling us to do. It's telling us to neglect the world. It's telling us to condemn it. It's telling us to not let those things affect our personal lives and not let those things of the world have that level of an influence and that level of a regard in our lives. Now, when we really sat down and when we really look at this and we stop and we think about it in our personal lives, now, John's not telling you to put this in the context of your neighbor. He's not telling you to put it in the context of other family members. He's not telling you to put it in the context of the people you work with or other people that you know. He is telling you individually to neglect the world and the worldly influence. The stumbling block that we have with that today, especially in the church, is that we want to put conditions on what the world is. We do. We want to put conditions on those. What does the world mean? What is he talking about when he's talking about the world? It's talking about the things that are in it. It's talking about the abodes that are around. It's talking about the systems that are in place. It's talking about the attractions that are out there. And let's be clear about a few things. There are a lot of attractions out there that look better than the church. There are a lot of people tonight who are going places and doing things simply because something looks better. They won't come to church because, well, you know, it looks better over here. You know, hey, look, if I go down here to the local bar, they've got the big screen TV, and they've got all of the little things set out for us to munch on that are free, and I can always have them make me something on the grill and eat, and then I can sit there on Wednesday night and I can watch whatever ball game they've got on. I can watch whatever is taking place around the world. I can watch anything on the news. I can do anything and everything that's going on, and I can be just as happy can be. And I can be there with my friends, and I can hoop, and I can holler, and I can yell, and I can shout, and I can carry on, and I can behave any old way I want to. It just looks better.
It just looks better if I'm out there in the world. It's more attractive. When we get to that point spiritually, when the world is more attracting to us as a born-again Christian than God's house is and God's people are and God's Word is, we have crossed a very dangerous line. And I fear tonight there's a lot of the church and a lot of God's people that have crossed a very dangerous line. I fear there's a lot of people that are just enjoying themselves for the sake of enjoyment without any concern. Hey, the economy's great. The stock market is at a record-breaking high. My 401k is performing great, better than it's ever done. Plenty of jobs, plenty of jobs, plenty of money, plenty of credit. People are buying brand new vehicles at a fast rate. They can't even keep them on the lots. They're selling them and moving them so quickly. And those used vehicles are moving just as rapidly. Houses are selling like hotcakes all around the area. Money is being spent. There's no reason to go to church because everything is good. And we wonder why our nation is in the mess it's in spiritually. We wonder why our government and our society is in the mess that it's in. We wonder why people don't even know what bathroom to go to. We wonder why people don't really understand what marriage means, that it's between a man and a woman. We wonder why children are confused about their sexual identity and their gender. The adults don't have any morals. The adults don't have any semblance of right and wrong. The adults can't teach common decency to their children anymore. The world. The Bible tells us to neglect it, but too often we embrace it. John reminds us of this. He goes on and he says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's a painful statement. If you think about that, it ought to prick your heart to even hear it. What does that say about church members who had rather be in the world than they had be in the church? If they love the world, then the love of the Father, the love of God, is not in them. That word Father is pater, the Greek word pater. It's spoken of generally of men, but in a special sense it talks about God and it talks about Him being the Father of everything. The Father of all creation. The Father of you and I. That's our spiritual Father. What do we really love tonight? What do we really love? Do we really love God? And I'm not asking that rhetorically. And I'm not asking it in a comical, whimsical type of a way. Does our affections go strictly to God? Is He the primary focal point of our life? If we are saved by grace through faith, and if we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, shouldn't He be our focal point? Shouldn't He be the number one person, the number one focus of our life? Not anything else. Nothing else should have that precedence. Nothing else should have that importance. Nothing that the world has to offer. No bank account. No vehicle. No RV. No boat. No hobby. Nothing should have the importance that Jesus Christ has in our lives. Nothing. John always taught this. If you remember our study of the Gospel of John, he taught one thing that was a continuing theme was the importance of God in the life of the believer. And the importance of Jesus Christ, the two being the same. But it was that importance that was a constant theme in John's teaching throughout his Gospel. He wanted people to know that it was God, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that was the preeminent being in his life. John's life went very quickly from being a focus of a fisherman to being the focus of one catching people for Christ. We talk about and think about our families and the importance that our families and our children have, and we should, and they should have that place, that focal place in our life. That should be true. But exactly what good are we going to do for our children and for our grandchildren if all we have to teach them is the world? If all we have to give them are worldly things that are going to pass away? When we move into verse 16, we see all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Anything that we may desire, that may be materialistic or financial or worldly, it's not of God. God is going to destroy everything that He ever created. When we look around and I look at these beautiful mountains that we have, or I go to the beach and I look at the wonder of the ocean, or anywhere in between, and I see the beauty and the creation of what God has given us, and I think, my goodness, how could He destroy this? And then I come back to reality, as beautiful as it looks, it's tarnished by sin. What did it look like before sin tarnished it? What did it look like before sin had its toll? What did people look like before sin had its toll on them? It's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And in verse 17, John does remind us that the world is going to pass away and the lust, all of the desires that go with it. All of the money, all of the prominence, all of the prestige. I don't mean to be rude or bold, but I want to use this for an illustration. Just recently, John McCain, the senator, was buried. They had him lie in state in several locations, and there was a big thing about his memorial service, and it was all televised, and then they had a private burial for him at the Naval Academy or the Naval Center. They had all that stuff put together. It was a great big funeral. It was a great big send-off. But do you know what? When John McCain's body was laid to rest in the grave, that grave was the same size that my father's grave was. That grave will be the same size as my grave will be. In the end, when John McCain will stand before the Lord and give account of his life and his accomplishments here on this earth have passed away. He will be judged according to his relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like I will be judged, and just like you will be judged. President Trump, regardless of the billions of dollars that he has, and all of the real estate that he owns, and all of the prominence that he's able to heap among himself and upon himself, and all of the positions that he's held, even that of the President of the United States, when it is his time to meet God, he will stand before God and he will give an account of himself just as I will and just as you will, without any influence on God as to who he is or who he was. And everything that he has amassed on this earth, it will pass away. The same will happen with any other president that has ever lived or will ever live, with any leader, with any preacher, with any pastor, with anyone. That should give you a perspective tonight on how important God is in your life and how important God is in the lives of your children and your grandchildren and everyone else that you come into contact with. It is He and He alone that has the primary place in the heart of the Christian. And the world should be neglected. It should be something that we give a very low esteem to. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God. You see, if you're saved, if you're truly born again, you've got a desire in your heart to satisfy God. Now, whether you squelch it or whether you push it forward and try to follow it, that's between you and the Lord. But you have got that desire there. And it says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What does that word abideth mean? It means remains, abides, remaining or dwelling in a place. Speaks of a condition or a state. You see, it can also be said, those that do the will of God leave a legacy that lasts forever. Not only will you leave this world, and will you move over into an eternal life with God in heaven when you lay this body down, but you will leave behind a legacy that your children will pick up and carry on with their children. You will leave behind a legacy that others will follow after, that others will learn from, and that others will work with. They won't worship you. They won't glorify you. But when the Bible says that the will of God and he that does the will of God will abide forever, it's talking about not just an eternal resting place. It's talking about a legacy that we establish here and we leave for others to learn from and to grow from. So what kind of legacy are you leaving tonight for others behind you? Are you training up a generation of people that are going to be serving God when you're no longer able to? Are you training up a generation of people that are going to have a desire to serve God and an understanding of how to serve God? It is something we need to think about. I had a gentleman at work today. He made a statement about prayer. Very disturbing statement about prayer. He said, if people are going to pray for God to do something and do something in their lives, I wish they would go and pray and do it and leave me alone and let me go my way. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in anything of that nature. He was either agnostic or atheist. And he wasn't open to a discussion. What kind of legacy will he leave? There are more people that are falling into that category every day who have no desire to be with God. There are people who attend churches and are members in churches and show up week in and week out, but they have no love of God because they have no relationship with Him. What kind of legacy are they leaving? One of a religious well-being? We can think about this and we can discuss this and we can move with it and we can go 100 different directions. But it still comes down to the final statement, to the final point that we need to think about tonight. Where's our relationship with the Lord? Love not the world, The love of the Father is not in him. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Each one of us fall into one of those categories. Either we love the world or we love the Lord. We have to determine where God sees us. And we have to determine and decide where we want to be and where we want to remain. That's something for us to think about tonight and think about throughout the rest of this week. Where are we in our love? Do we love the world? Do we love the Lord? Only we and God know.